right. Welcome to a brand new series for the summer we're calling Summer at Crosspoint. Get it straight. Summer at Crosspoint. And let me just pause right here just to welcome all those that are just now joining us online. Come on, everybody. Let's welcome all those that are just joining us. Glad to have you here with us. We have a very significant online campus, and we encourage you, if you're out there, let us know. You can also have a little conversation, go back forward. There's someone during the service that manages that and can respond to you, and we just love to get really connected with you through this venue. Glad to have you with us. You're a part of us today. And again, I said this earlier, but let me say it again so that we can include those that are now watching us online. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. We're glad to honor you today, and we thank God for you. Well, as we kick this series off, I'm really excited about it. It's a little bit a different type of a series where we're going to take this summer, and I believe it's really going to be a refreshing time of renewal, as I believe God's going to bring something new and fresh to you and unique to you each and every week in our messages. This is a 7-week series that we're going to have different speakers. So I'm taking a little bit of a sabbatical. I'll be here with you, but I'm going to be refreshed myself. But we're going to have some different speakers from in-house and some from outside these walls that are going to be coming this summer and just ministering to you. And I believe it's going to be powerful. And I just can't wait to see what God has in store through this series. And to kick us off, we're beginning today with Pastor Steve Guptill, our small groups pastor. Come on, give it up to him. Before he comes, let me just say how much I really value Steve and his ministry here. He's our small groups pastor, does a phenomenal job, has a true heart for it. Even has a master's education behind that to back it up with an emphasis in small groups. And just want to also say he does a lot of things around here. One of the other things he does, you see him up here on the stage, and he's our musical director, so he does a lot of this arranging that you hear. And he's in the mic calling the shots a lot of times to the team. And so really appreciate him and the value that he brings to this place. And beyond that, he's a great Christian. That's nothing better could be said than that. Just a wonderful person that I just love with all my heart. He's my brother, and I know that you love him. I want you to give him a warm welcome as he comes today to bring this first installment of this Summer Crosspoint series. Come on, give him a welcome.
All right, everybody. Hey, guys. Woo! It's already been quite a day, Pastor. Thank you, my friend. You're too kind. So, again, guys, good morning. And I'm Steve Guptill. I do work on staff here with Pastor in the capacity of our small groups pastor and our music director. So, actually, guys, you got to see me play drums. That was real live drumming there. So, back in my rock band days, my band would never let me get back behind the drums. So, now that I'm the musical director, I get to choose. There we go. So, that's good stuff. Again, welcome, guys. And welcome for Father's Day. That's a special time of the year. I know I'm going to be watching me the Yankees. That's my Father's Day present is a nap, New York Yankees, and turkey meatloaf. So there's a classic Father's Day for you. But again, guys, welcome. And especially our online folks. I was in my studio yesterday, and I was messaging folks. I'm like, so guys, I'm going to be speaking tomorrow morning. So come on in, all my old bandmates from New York. And so I'm hoping, and again, welcome everybody. I hope my sister has been a very faithful member of our online campus from Boston, my sister Lori. She may be in West Heartland, Sadiq. I don't know if you're at the lake or in Boston this afternoon, but we welcome you, and my brother Rich and all my old bandmates. So guys, just check in and tell us where you're from. It's kind of interesting because we started this about a year ago, the live streaming, and it's been amazing. Hundreds of views, so it's incredible. But so again, welcome, guys. So it was actually this time last year on Father's Day, Pastor asked me to get a Father's Day message, and I was able to tell the story of my dad, that was quite, I gave a little bit more of my testimony during that time, and talked to my dad about my dad and his spiritual life. He passed away in 2012, and from the time Dawn and I became Christians in 1993, so if you can imagine, there was a 20-year interval there where I got to talk to my dad quite a bit about God, and he wasn't very interested at first, kind of discouraging, but it's got an amazing ending. I actually get to honor my dad there through his heroic service in World War II. My dad was a naval aviator, and he fought in one of the last and most intense naval battles of World War II, and he actually was shot down during that time and was in the open water for 36 hours, was miraculously saved and rescued by an American submarine. So check that out. It's called Clean Sweep, and Theron will put up the archives on our website. So that's called the Clean Sweep. And then last October, I got to tell you a little bit about my daughter, Elizabeth, and miraculous birth. We were talking about miracles and the faith that honors God. And I posted that. I was watching that yesterday all day, and it was just tearing me up. I was making a video, and it's on my Facebook wall, and it's kind of cool. I was working with Aaron, our creative director. But this year is going to be a little different, guys. So we're going to be talking about the subject of spiritual momentum. So if we can kind of almost think that we're at Panera Bread or we're in a small group, because that's really what I do. I mean, I'm really not a pulpiteer, so to speak. I'm really more of a teacher. And that's kind of my heart, so small group. So we're going to be in small group today. We're going to have some fun together. But today we're going to actually get to meet Dawn's grandmother, Hollis. I got to know her. In fact, I'm going to tell you a story just a minute. On our very first date, I met her when I went to pick up Dawn. But she was an amazing influence on me. She passed away in 97. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we met. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the end. So that's going to be cool. So. And they were from Indiana. Do we have any Midwesterners with us? Please tell me we got some. All right, woo, Ohio and Indiana, Michigan. I know we got Illinois, right? But, my new role in work, I'm a scientist with our local utility, and I get to travel this year. I've been traveling a little bit. I did go out to Indiana, and I was looking forward to going back there because that's where Dawn and I met. Dawn's family is from Indiana. Everybody's out there, so I actually texted quite a few. I texted Dawn's brother and his two brothers, so hope you guys are joining us today. So I got to travel to there, and I was going to give a presentation with, I'm a scientist, and I work in our central laboratory, so I go out. This was kind of almost a sales call. It was to get to meet folks, because there are a lot of our clients in the Midwest, so that was in Plainfield, Indiana. So I get in there, and it's a staff meeting. So sometimes staff meetings are a little intense, So this was, they were gathered, all their people. There were 15 engineers, 15 scientists in this room. And I walk in there about lunchtime, and I'm like, have you ever walked in a room? It's like, whoa. So, they were going at it, which is not unusual. And there were a lot of important discussions going on, I guess. So I sat down and just kind of waited my turn. Hey, I'm Steve from Huntersville. So eventually it calmed down. We had some lunch, and I got up there, and I got in this big conference table, guys. This is a really nice conference room, if you can imagine. Business, huge, screen. Everybody's got their, computers going to town. And I sit there, and I get my PowerPoint going, and they're kind of like staring at me. So tough crowd. So I said, I'm going to tell them the story because it's got an Indiana background, and maybe this will break the ice a little bit. So it's the story of how our Dawn and I first met. So just real quickly, guys, I moved to Indiana from New York. I grew up in upstate New York. What I like to do is play music, and that's what I did. I got my engineering degree. And my plan was to stay around my Hudson Valley home for indefinitely. I was failure to launch, man, because here's why. Because I was playing in a band, and I had free food, free rent. I had a little job. I had my studio built in the basement, man. It was just me, my dad, and my mom, my brother Rich. And my sister Lori had already, much older than me, they moved out. So I was like, you can't beat it, man. It was awesome. Until one day I got home from practice and there was a for sale sign in my yard. So I was like, Mom, are you gonna tell me something? Oh yeah, Dad took a retirement package. Huge. This was back in the day, healthcare for life, really nice severance. And they were going to move to our summer home in Connecticut, which that's probably where my sister is now, watching the what fort there. And so I'm like, ooh, I better go to Plan D. I might have to actually get a job here. Yes. So I actually, has anybody ever applied for a job using a typewriter? Roy, Pastor, we're going to date ourselves here. But it's like you get out of a typewriter, you go plunk, plunk, plunk. I'm Steve Guptill, and I do this and this and this. Anyway, did anybody ever use mail, Pastor, to send a letter to get a job? But I got that job, and it was actually in a very nice laboratory out there. So I got out there, I'm from New York, a little bit of culture shock, I would say. I was like a little bit slower out there, flat, humid in my car. I bought a brand new car, but I didn't buy air conditioning because nobody in upstate New York has air conditioning. It was the biggest mistake. By the summertime in Indiana with that car, I was feeling the effects. But anyway, we met Dawn one night just at a restaurant, and I got her. Basically, I was able to get her name or her number or address, and we set up a date Friday night. This is like a Tuesday, Friday night. We're going to get down there. I'm going to pick her up. We're going to go to the mall and have dinner, you know, classic first date. So that was great. You know, for a guy, you know, I was brand new out there. I was like, and Dawn is very pretty. I was like, so I was excited about that. But, you know, I started having second thoughts there because, you know, like I checked the map and like her street wasn't on the map. Okay, so I'm like, maybe that's coincidence. So I tried to call the number. That number didn't work very well. I'm like, it's adding up here. You know, how guys think is that, you know, guys think the worst. And, you know, so by Friday morning, I had convinced myself this was going to be a disaster. So I get off of work, so I'm supposed to come down. I'm supposed to drive down to her house, pick her up, and we go out to a simple date. So I was like, what do I do? So guys, what do I do? What do I do? I went for it anyway because I was close to pulling the plug on that one. But I was like, what do I got to lose? Drove. So just picture like Huntersville, you know, Lake Norman, and then picture Rock Hill. Okay, so it's a pretty good investment. I did not know my way around Indianapolis area. And so I drove. And I was like, it was getting later and later and darker and darker. But finally got to the mall. She said, I just live a little past the mall. I found the mall. I'm like, all right. Well, then there was another 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. Yeah, maybe in Indiana, you know, a little ways past is that. But a little ways past for a New Yorker is a block. Okay, here's a block. I weigh a little bit more than a block. So, guys, that must have been 3, 4, or 5 miles. I don't remember. It was just, I was out of my mind at this point. So I just said, listen, I'm going to set the odometer. I'm going to go 1 more mile. If I find it, it's good. If not, I'm getting out of here. That's how guys think. And so I set the odometer. I'm watching it, and I see a street. And I'm like, the mile's almost up here, guys. So one more street. I'm up there. Yeah, that's it. Woo! So anyway, I just told the engineers this story just to kind of, and something came out of my, kind of popped out of my mouth when I was inside that meeting. And this is what I said to the engineers. I said, I'm sure glad I went that 1 more mile. And because, Theron, can you show our the collage picture up there? This is, so that 1 more mile produced momentum in my life. And if you can see here on the side, it's really my daughter, Elizabeth, made this a couple years. It's a little dated, but there's me as a kid. There's me as a rock star when I was a kid. But anyway, you can see we get married. And actually, guys, we celebrated our 28th anniversary yesterday, June 17th. Woo! Had a little back porch time hanging out. We don't worry about Steve and Dawn, we celebrate, so you don't have to worry about us. We're pretty good at that. There's our wedding picture. Andrew came along. You can see little Andrew. He's now 27. He's a chemical technician in the laboratory I used to work at. He's doing great. I'm going to see him this afternoon. And Andrew's little graduation picture there. Elizabeth in 1997 came along. She's now 20. She's about to turn 21 here. You can see that, and actually you can see my little graduation picture from school. That was 2010 when I got my master's degree in ministry. And so that, you know, so there you go, guys. So there was actually, guys, you know, that's a pretty funny story. You know, I do enjoy telling that, but there's actually more to this story. And we're just gonna pray in just a minute, but I want to tell you one more thing about what happened. So when I got to Dawn's house that night, you know, I walk in there, and Dawn's mom Lois is in the kitchen, and her Dawn's grandmother Hollis is sitting on the couch watching The Wheel of Fortune, or Price is Right. She loved game shows. And she's sitting there in a long dress, you know, formal shoes, nylons, and pearls. You know, it was a little bit, it's like, well, you know, people dress like that in Midwest, I guess. No, but that was just her style. She was, at that point in 87, she was 80 years old. And so I'm just going to tell you this, guys, and we're going to move along. So I walk in, and I say hi to the mom, but I'm kind of at the door. So Hollis, like, beckons me with her hand. She says, Come here, like, to shake my hand, right? Shake, you know, so I'm like, okay, I go over and I shake, you know, I give her my hand, and she grabs my hand, okay, and normally in a handshake, it's like a, you know, I was thinking a little, you know, but it didn't happen, actually, guys. What happened was that she grabbed my hand, and she didn't let go, actually, and what she did was something very unusual. When she was grabbing my hand, she took her thumb, and, like, as it was like this, she just began very softly and slowly to caress the back of my hand. A little awkward. Certainly no vibes and, you know, negative vibes, certainly. But it was, I was like, well, she's grabbing my hands. Where are you from? I'm from New York. You know, what are you going to do? We're going to go out. You know, what do you do? I'm a chemist. You know, so just small talk, five minutes. And all the time she was just holding my hand very, very softly. So Dawn came out. We went on the date. And again, the rest is history, guys, there. So there's more to that story, too. So we're going to pick that back up here. So, guys, today we're going to be talking about the one more mile, so to speak, and the principles of spiritual momentum, and how sometimes we're going to learn that God uses maybe not the first mile, maybe the one more mile in our lives to build spiritual momentum. So we're going to define what spiritual momentum is. We're going to do a little science, Pastor, I promise. Last time I did a lot of science, just a little science this time. We're going to look at momentum. Then we're going to look at seven principles of how what we can apply to our lives. And I guarantee you, if you apply these principles, you're going to put yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit is going to use you, guys, and you'd be surprised. So we're going to talk about that. So I need help from our ushers. Does everybody have a worship guide? We need a worship guide, and let me grab mine here because we are going to do a little bit of an exercise today because we're in a small group. So everybody, Randy, just raise your hand if you don't. So you need a pen and you need your worship guide because I've prepared this spiritual kind of exercise. I haven't taken it. I created it, but I haven't taken it. So is everybody good? All right. Are we ready? This is going to be awesome, guys. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. We'll get right into His word. Heavenly Father, Lord, just this day, this Father's Day, thank You for that. And Lord, as we think of the principles here of spiritual momentum, of how Your Holy Spirit works in our lives, Lord, we just pray, Lord, for open hearts, open minds here to this subject. And Lord, would You just work in us. And as we go through these principles, Lord, I would just pray that You would nudge us if we need to perhaps work in this area. And that's what this is all about, Lord. We want You to reveal Yourself to us today. And Lord, we want to see You work. And we want to be better at what we do, Lord. We want to be closer to You, and that's what this is all about. So, Lord, we love You. We thank You. Thank You for each and every person here. We thank You for our friends and family on Facebook Live, and give us a great time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's get right at it, guys. Theron, if you have that first slide. Momentum. What is momentum? Let's talk about spiritual momentum. Momentum. Science. Momentum is the quantity of motion of a moving body. What does that mean? Very simply, how much you got and how fast it going. So that's what we're going to do. So, guys, I really think that there's really two aspects to this. So it's three dimensional. Think about this. So how do you measure weight? How do you know how much you weigh? Right? Yeah. Oh no. You know. Yeah. So weight is measurable, right? How do you know how fast you're going? So Pastor, if we're driving 55 miles an hour in 1 hour, how fast are we going to go if we're going 55 and not 75? Right, 55, that's great. So we all drive the speed limit, right? 50. So speed is measured by how far you go, right? And the time it takes to cover it. So you've got spiritual momentum. So I'm saying that momentum is mass times A. And this is if you were in engineering school or in physics, that's what you would be seeing on your. So basically let me give you a quick example. Theron, can you show the next one? So you know, you've got how much, how far, and how much time. So, you know, the interesting thing is, guys, and this is always, you know, so if you come to my desk at work and you say, Steve, what you got going on today? I'm going to hand you a checklist, and it's my clipboard I carry around. I've got 30 things I got to get done. So I can tell you where I'm at. I can tell you what we're doing. But in spirituality, though, sometimes, guys, when you say, well, how's it going? Well, you know, I don't know. So we're going to actually take a look at our spirituality, so to speak, and we're going to be able to measure some things. So, Theron, can you show the next example, please? So, we've got a quick example here of the brick wall. So, our job here, guys, we're scientists. See that brick wall? We're gonna bash it down with something. So, we're gonna have two different things. The first thing we're gonna use is actually I brought one. We're gonna use a feather. So our job as scientists, we're gonna figure out how to bring down the brick wall with a feather. So how are we going to do that? So this is what happens. So the physicist goes up to the wall. And he says, if I throw this as hard as I can, I bet I'm going to break the wall down. And we know what happens. He throws nothing. So what's the problem? The problem is there's a little bit of weight and not too much speed, right? So the scientists say, what if we increase the speed of the feather? we're going to knock the wall down, right? So this is how experimentation works. So the engineer takes a vacuum cleaner, rewires it so it shoots out instead of in, and so he puts all the feathers in there, and he creates a feather machine gun, okay? Can you have, right? So they go up there, and they shoot the wall with the machine gun, and what happens? Nothing. You got the velocity, but you don't have the mass. You don't have the weight behind it. Okay, so Theron, we're gonna put out the heavy guns here. We're gonna try something else here. And this is gonna be, we're gonna grab a locomotive train. All right. We've got a little bit of mass here, so the scientists come and they put this train 1 inch from the wall. Okay. They all get on it. They're honking the horns because they're excited about this. They're going to bash this wall down. Our job is to bash the brick wall. They get it up to 1 mile an hour. It touches the brick wall, and it stalls, and the wall is still there. So what's the problem in this example? Right, so we got some weight, but we don't got the velocity. So you can have all the weight in the world and not have momentum. So it's a multiplicative effect, if I'm saying that correctly. So what the engineers do, they build them a track. For 1 mile back, they back that bad boy up, and they get that thing up to 50 miles an hour, the same speed that the engineers were able to shoot the feathers. And when that train going 50 miles an hour hits that wall, it don't got a chance, guys. Boom, goes through, everybody, yeah! Too bad they forgot to build the track on the other side, but hey, that's engineers for you. But anyway, the example there is, it's the mass times velocity, okay? Are you with me? That's good stuff right there, guys. So let's look at our theme verse for today is going to be Matthew 5:41. Theron, if you wouldn't mind. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Very unusual statement. I thought of that for a long time. And I think we're gonna find out, guys, that within that second mile, within that one more mile, we're gonna gain some spiritual momentum. God's gonna use us. So let's go, guys. We're gonna start our assessment. Okay, our first thing. So what we're gonna do, guys, so everybody get your pen out. I gotta get mine. We got seven. We got 7 points real quick here, guys. So the title, right, seven principles up top here. Put your name and your date. It's kind of like we're in school. Today's 18th. All right, put number one down and just write the word time. All right, so we're going to talk about time. I think it's M times V, right? So I think there's three criteria of mass that we have, everybody's got to work with, and we're going to find out what that is according to the Bible. And then I think we're going to look at four things that make us go quicker in our spiritual lives, and we're going to combine those two together and see what we got. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 through 16. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Guys, we've all got time, and I can remember, Pastor, I think I might have brought this verse to our very first trip. The leadership took a trip to Alabama in 2013 when I first came here, and I think I might have brought, this is kind of my theme verse in life. I mean, I'm really interested in redeeming the time. I'm very interested in that, because what that means to me, and I explained this to the leadership, I think it was 4 years ago, 2.5 hours after I started, we said amen, so we won't be here 2.5 hours today, I promise, guys. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time is buying it back, making it right, putting it in its right purpose, where it's supposed to be. So our time is critically important. The days are evil, folks. They ain't getting any better. So tell you the truth, I've taken all the news off my apps, on my phone. You know, I even took Facebook off for a week. That was interesting. I actually got some stuff done, but I put it back on yesterday because we were going to do this. But the days are evil, guys. We, the church, have to understand that our time is precious. And so, guys, I'm going to explain to you this is just me. So these examples I'm going to give to you, I spend my time on four things. So I only spend my time literally on four things: 1, 2, 3, 4. And here are what they are. Number one, I spend time with my family, and that's my earthly ministry with my wife. We spend a lot of quality. If you hang around us, you know we spend some time together. So suffice that to say, spend some time with your family. Number two, I spend time at my work. You know, my job, I love my job. It's really my dream job. I mean, I couldn't have a better job probably here, and the Lord really gave that to me 4 years ago. I appreciate that. I want to do a good job, so I spend time at my work. I spend time with And there's really just two ministries I'm called to. One is evangelism and discipleship, and that I work out through our small groups. And that's why I went back to school in 2006. That's why I got my master's degree. And then nothing happened until I met Pastor. He said, "You want to help me?" I was like, "Yes, finally, somebody wants my help." I couldn't get a job. Pastor is unbelievable here. I was unemployable spiritually. But time. And the fourth thing, I spend my time in music. I just love me. Hey, I like it. What you see up here is maybe 40 years worth of, learning how to play, record, guitars. I love it. When I get home, I literally, and you guys know, the second I get home, I don't even change my clothes. I turn on my studio and I crank it up. So videos, stuff, all kinds of great stuff. So guys, this is what I want to do. So right time. Do you got that down there? So this is how we're going to rate ourselves. And guys, this is very private. No peeking, husbands, no peeking on wives. You're not of that. So it's very, so from a scale of 1 to 10, how do you, and don't overthink this, guys. How do you think you're doing with your time? Just like 10 is really good, man. I think I'm zoned into what God wants me to do. And 1 is, I need improvement. So just write down a number. Don't overthink it. There we go. Very good. Number 2, we've all got talents. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, whatever work you do, do it with all your heart. Do it for the Lord and not for men. And I would tell you, I have been a manager for many, many years, and my one advice to folks that want to succeed is, work. I mean, seriously, guys. I mean, when we look at, if Grant, my boss this, my boss that, guys, forget about that. Do it for the Lord. Do it for the sake of the job. Do it and work well. And that's a spiritual a principle. And Theron, can you show this next slide? I had the opportunity to, I was teaching a small group. I was asked to give a little devotion to a men's small group, and this is another small group I'm interested in. And we just pray for our pastors, actually. We do that once a month. And there were two young kids there. And they were like 18, 20, and man, they were on fire for the Lord. They were excited about their faith and everything. But they said the same thing. They said, I have no clue what God wants me to do in my life. I don't know what God's will is in my life. I said, y'all, I'm going to save you 30 years of heartache right here. I'm going to tell you in 5 minutes how to find out. And here's that. This is how what I use, and it's very, guys, if you apply these principles, I'm going to get my glasses on. Number 1, God's will for our lives to use our talents is always going to be found in God's word. God doesn't expect us to operate. In fact, he requires us to operate within his word. So, guys, if you think God's leading you to do something and it's not in scripture, I got the news for you that you may be mistaken. So stay in God's word. Number 2 on B, this is kind of called a Venn diagram, by the way. It's kind of cool. Our giftings. What are we good at? What do we like to do? What do we enjoy? The funny thing about my guitar playing, guys, when I first... I became a Christian in 1993. I literally put my guitar down. I didn't touch it for a year. And that was because, and this is why. I thought, how can I possibly honor the Lord with my guitar playing? Because all I know how to do is play, music that you generally don't hear on Sunday morning. If my previous pastors might have heard some Led Zeppelin, they might have, they might have keeled over or something, Pink Floyd. But that's what I know. So I put it down, but it was really interesting, guys. A Christian came to me one day at work, and they just asked me this question, Steve, what do you really like to do? And I said, I really like to play guitar, and it just came out of my mouth. And she's like, you're doing that for the church, right? So, no, I'm not. She's like, why not? And a light bulb went on there, folks, is that, the talents that God gives us, the giftings, both natural and kind of supernatural. If you want to know about supernatural giftings and spiritual gifts, take our growth track, and you'll learn all about that there. But, man, just use what God's given you. And finally, the need. Is there a need? Is there a need? Is there a need? You see that intersection in there, guys? If you can find something that is in God's... God says, hey, worship on the instruments with strings. So once I read that, I said, we're going to rock this thing. So that's what I do. Giftings, natural ability. If you like something, work at it, y'all. Seriously. Come to Infuse. We have an Infuse process here. If you want to learn an instrument, we'll teach you. And the need. There's got to be a need. And guys, I will tell you that there's need all around us. So guys, there you go. So talents. So let's ask this. Number 2, talents. How well are we using our talents for the Lord? And just write a number down real quick. We're not overthinking this. And we're going to pick up some momentum here. Our treasure, number three. Guys, to develop spiritual momentum, we've got to understand that we got to learn how to share. And this is what I call New Testament sharing. That's what I teach it a little differently, but I'm going to tell you real quickly, because actually I'm not an expert in this. I would refer you to Pastor Dwayne and the Dave Ramsey course. Excellent material. We've taken that course. So I'm going to kind of summarize what I think New Testament is. And we've got 2 Corinthians 9 to show you. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So guys, really, there's actually quite a few principles. This is how we share, in my opinion. There's four kind of Christian attitudes of sharing. Number one is we share freely. If somebody's forcing you to do it, don't do it, guys. It's not how it works. We share joyfully. When we're contributing, when we're sharing, we're writing, man, that should be the best part of our week. Share joyfully, faithfully, guys. I could tell you story after story about cars breaking down. We suffered with junk cars for years. Every time, you know, we're going to get, here comes, oh, transmission, you name it, engines, we've blown transmissions. But guys, regardless of that, faithful, put it first. So really, the spiritual principle is first fruits, and really don't have to go time into that, but God expects our best, and he expects it up front, really, quite frankly, guys. And finally, sacrificially. Pastor, you know, the funny, I've hardly ever heard this taught from the pulpit, but if we're not giving sacrificially, something's wrong. It should hurt a little bit. Right? I mean, seriously, guys. So, you know, so look at your budget, and again, those budgetary courses will help you. But I mean, how much is Netflix anyway? And Dawn, am I paying for that? Is that coming out of my paycheck? I think I'm paying for Netflix. So what is it? $10 a month, right? Is it? Did they raise the price? Well, what if you said, you know, no more Netflix, no more whatever you watch there. That $10 is going towards a ministry, going towards a tithe. It's going to a Christian worker. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you apply those principles in there, we give, Christians are to give in three places. Again, people, I hardly ever hear this, but there are three places in which we give to, according to the Bible. One is the church, number one. We give towards our church. And we give, Theron, can we have the next slide, please? That would be good. Church, I think there's three areas. If the balance of Scripture is we give in three places. Number one for us is the church. That's our tithes and offerings, what you would say. Guys, that's coming in for, you know, that, and there's really no debate about that. We support our local New Testament Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, gospel-preaching church, because that's the mechanism God himself, Christ Jesus, set up his church, and that's it. It's plan A, no plan B, right? Are you with me on that? We give to our church. We give to Christian workers also. And in the context of what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians was he was being supported, faithful, and he was like, guys, you, man, you've been great. You've given, you know, and Paul was an itinerant preacher. He actually had a second job, like most of us do. He worked his whole life, actually. He never was supported fully, but he received, and he would gladly receive because he understood. When a church gives to a Christian worker, a missionary, let's say, I know, pastor, we support through our mission funds here. You know, Dawn and I support ministries privately, because we're excited about what they do. We know the people. So I would recommend if something excites you, give to it, towards it. Guys, that's exciting. And finally, we give to it toward those in need. And that can take lots of forms as well. I mean, I remember Dawn, it was a couple of years back, and, you know, there was a lot of folks, you know, when you go to work, and there's a lot of folks on the corners, and Dawn was tore up about that. What do I do? So Dawn decided, I'm going to get me a bag full of groceries, and the first guy I see, I'm going to give it to her. But sure enough, Dawn can tell that story a little better, but she pulls up like Brookshire Boulevard, and this guy is in need, and she, and the guy, it was just, guys, just, if, we got to share, So that's number three, guys, write down, we're sharing our treasure. How are we doing with that? Again, we're writing this down privately. Again, guys, this is not to point anything, but we are going to use this at the end, so bear with me here. Let's mark that down. Very good. All right, number four. We're going on to Velocity. So we've got the mass. So everybody's got the time, everybody's got talent, and everybody's got treasure. But now we got to pick up some velocity. And Pastor, can you see that? See, in science, what we do is we like to use subscripts. So that's velocity sub. So that's velocity sub Holy Spirit. So I get to make it up. So I'm saying. So that they do that all. They make everything up in science. Don't let them tell you any differently. So V sub HS, Holy Spirit velocity. How are we going to get us in a position? So you got all this. So if you can get this ball rolling, the Holy Spirit's going to come by and energize you guys. And this is how, I think there's four things. So we're going to go through these real quickly, and then we're going to have a time of worship and prayer. So the first one comes really from Acts 2:42, and we're going to be here for the rest of the sermon. Darren, could you show? Yeah, so this is the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, one of my favorite, absolutely favorite portions of Scripture. Pastor did a great job. He just came out of My Best Friend series. Wow, that was great, studying the Holy Spirit. Pastor unpacked Acts chapter 2 a little bit. So when the Holy Spirit falls on the church, guys, so here, Acts chapter 1, we find 150 people, 120 people or so, behind closed doors, scared. And they were just told to wait, pray. Holy Spirit falls in Acts chapter 2. They are energized. Their Holy Spirit velocity is increasing. And all through that, man, you see, man, and it's incredible. And this is what they did afterwards. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And let's read that whole thing, Theron, thank you. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And when they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as they had need. Interesting. And day by day they attended the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. Guys, that's some spiritual momentum right there, folks. That is spiritual velocity, and it's picking up. So I pick out four things, and this is what I do for myself, and I'm going to explain these to you. So number four. Guys, what you see right there is prayer is number four. They devoted themselves to prayer. And tell you the truth, guys, you know, I think prayer was probably one of the slowest things I kind of learned because I didn't really understand it back in the day. I liked the preaching and I liked the Bible and I was learning all that good stuff, but I was missing something in prayer, so... It took a while, but I think I understand a little bit better. And you know what the best way, if you were like me, I wish I had had this opportunity to come to our 9 a.m. small group Sunday mornings and prayer. And Kim is doing a fantastic job. Prayer, guys. You know, just that opportunity to come. And when we pray on Sunday morning here at 9 o'clock, actually, I had a conversation with Pastor. It was about 2 years ago. I called Pastor. I was in Trader Joe's parking lot. I pulled over. We were talking on the phone. I was like, Pastor, we were frustrated because we couldn't quite figure out this prayer thing. How do you get a prayer ministry in church? It's not that easy, you know, because we were trying Saturday morning, but Saturday wasn't working for us, guys. I mean, just as it was. So we said, what if we, on Sunday morning, we stop everything at 9 o'clock, and for half an hour we do nothing but pray for this service and the needs? And if you come here on Sunday morning, you'll find all those prayer cards. So when Pastor says at the end, if you turn your prayer card and we'll pray for you, that's where it happens. They're all here, and we take it, and it's amazing. So we tried that. Now, you know, pulling the plug on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock is not easy when you got a lot of things going on, but we just did it, and it was absolutely one of the best decisions we made, Pastor. And I don't know. I think I'm going to give you credit for that one. I'm not sure if that was me. That was me and you putting our heads together, I think. Oh, man. That's the best time of the week for me, guys, prayer. And we dial ourselves in. We pray for you guys. We pray for the people that aren't even here. We pray for Pastor and his message. Guys, prayer. I could go on quite a bit about that. We got to get going, guys. How's your prayer life? Just write down real quick, prayer. One way to increase that real quickly is just come on here. Number five. And we gotta gain some momentum here. The Word, the Apostles' Doctrine. They devoted themselves to the Apostles' Doctrine. Yeah. So what's your personal devotion like? I just tell you what I'll do. I use the Holy Bible app. YouVersion changed my life. I run everything off of that thing. I have three or four devotions going at a time. I listen on them. And if You see my door closed at noon. I might be listening to my YouVersion in my office. I use my time. I use my commuting time. Guys, get into the Word some way, shape, or form, guys. And look, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Guys, they were in the Bible. They didn't even have the Bible actually finished, but they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. So, guys, how are we doing in our in our personal devotion life? That's a tough one, guys. When I work with a lot of folks, and I like to disciple people, I really encourage people to just do something. And in fact, I was even talking to Jeremy one time, and Pastor had said, just take 15 minutes a day, do something. Scripture, a little devotion on YouVersion, it'll get the ball rolling, guys. Spiritual momentum is what we're talking about. How are we doing with our devotion life, guys? If you can go ahead and just jot that down, and that's number five. We're picking up some speed. Number six. Worship. The early church worshiped. They were in the temple all the time. That doesn't mean we have to be here all the time, guys, but worship. There's no substitute to the church. And, I've come across, I hear Hollywood stars. I live in Malibu, and I spend Sunday morning walking the beach, and I go to church. Well, that must be pleasant, but that's actually not what God's calling us to do. God's calling us to be in church, guys. A Bible-believing, New Testament, Spirit-filled church that preaches the gospel. That's why, that's why I'm here. I love Pastor. He does a great job up here. Worship, guys. And it's, as far as, our team up here, we were here Thursday night worshiping. And we were worshiping, guys. We didn't get out of here for a while. And really, guys, if you understand the worship, being together, calling upon the name of the Lord. So how are we doing in our worship lives, guys? Number six. Put down a number from 1 to 10 there. And finally, guys, near and dear to old Pastor Steve's heart, small groups. The early church was born in a small group. It was actually not born in a gospel meeting, to tell you the truth, guys. The small group, in fact, we never had a building for a couple hundred years. We did pretty good without buildings. Today we weren't doing so good. We had a little water issue in our building, and it got us a little bit off schedule, but buildings sometimes are a liability, so... Pastor was had a while. He was. We got him calmed down, so it was good. He's making me nervous. I'm speaking. You're making me nervous, Pastor. No, but seriously, it's not. So, guys, small groups. What can I tell you about small groups? Small groups changed my life. The church operated in small groups, and it says they met from home to home on a daily basis, breaking bread, hanging out, Panera Bread, Chick-fil-A, you name it. Meet there, guys. We got our summer semester going here. I'm teaching. Jordan and I are actually running. If you want to learn how, if you want to come run and do a race with us at the end of the year, we'll be there. I know Theron's, I think it's today, disc golf in the heat and humidity. They're soldiers. But guys, so how are we doing with our small groups? Are we attending them faithfully? Has God asked you to lead a small group perhaps and you've kind of held back? Again, guys, you see all these things. So write down, guys, how are you doing in small groups, generally speaking, okay? All right, so we've got our... We've got our kind of our survey done. If you go to the end of Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, you find something very interesting. The result of this spiritual momentum is actually found in verse 46 and 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Guys, you see the result of spiritual momentum. The early church bought into these principles. Well, they kind of wrote the book, so to speak. And man, 3,000 saved at preaching, every day adding small groups, worship. So, guys, it's right at 11. We're actually running a little behind, but that's good. I was gonna ask Dwayne to come on up and the worship team now. So we're just gonna conclude our sermon. Dwayne's gonna come up and play. So guys, I'm just gonna have a few closing remarks, and then we're gonna do a worship song together to close out our service together. And so guys, I want you to I would kind of like you to fold this, okay, and just kind of keep just hold on to it for a bit because we're gonna use this in just a minute here, guys. So. Thank you, guys. So, guys, I wanted to take a few minutes and kind of introduce you to Dawn's grandmother, Hollis. And actually, Theron, would you mind just putting her picture up for a minute there? Because this is Hollis, and, you know, that's good, Theron. Thank you very much. I was talking to Dawn about this, and you know, Hollis is a very, you know, low-keyed Midwestern or German Irish stock, and she wouldn't even like her picture up here, so... You can take that down. Thanks, Perry. But I was talking, you know, and with Dawn, I was like, I'm just going to honor her for just a minute. I want to tell the story because it really, I think it's going to, we've been talking about spiritual momentum. So I gave you 7 practical tips. I'm going to give you an example of somebody who operated in that and what their spiritual effect was, okay? So, you know, I told you that story where I met Dawn's grandma. That was 1987. I guess that would put me at 24, something like that. No faith whatsoever, guys. You know, I did sort of grow up in a nominal Christian environment, but no relationship, unchurched background, effectively. So here I am, it's 1987, don't care a thing about the Lord, don't care. All I do is really just want to go on a date, and I want to, you know, have my job in Indiana. But that day, something happened, and a spiritual clock started ticking, actually. So I'll just tell you a little bit more about that. So in 1993, actually, Dawn and I came to faith. That was 6 years after I met Hollis, and very much like this. Just we came to faith in a service just like this, and it was like, wow. For me, it was like night and day. So I had, you know, I was 30 years old at the time and didn't care a thing about the Lord, but here I am, and our lives are radically changed. And in fact, Hollis moved down here in 1995, so we were new Christians, and she came to live down here to get out of the Indiana weather. And so I got to know her quite a bit. In fact, I sat at her feet on Sunday afternoons. I was actually preaching a little bit. I was working in nursing homes. I was winning people to the Lord. People were getting saved. There was some spiritual momentum in my life that had started. And I was seeing the Lord work. And I got to sit at her feet. And so I'm just going to tell you a little bit. She was born in 1907, guys. When she was 10 years old, America entered World War I. Not two. One. 10 years old, 1917. She was 30 when World War II happened. 50s, the rock and roll, the birth of rock and roll, the 60s, she was in her early 60s. The Woodstock Festival actually happened about an hour from our home in upstate New York, and you know what kind of turbulent times we had. And here's this grandmother, this Midwestern lady, really of just doing her thing. She was married young, had 3 kids, and Dawn's mom, Lois, was the middle kid. And so she was widowed, and in her 60s, in the late 60s, when she was 60, she remarried, and that's Clarence, and that was kind of what Dawn considered grandpa. When we would go up to Kannapolis, Hollis would tell us stories, and she loved to hear about, you know, my stuff. You know, what are you doing, Steve? I mean, are you playing guitar? It was like, I felt I really wasn't doing anything. Really what I was doing at that point, I was assisting in small groups, I was leading a small group, and I was playing a little bit of guitar in a nursing home. I didn't really think much of it. And she said, oh, you, that's great. And she was really encouraging. She told me her testimony, actually. She kind of grew up in the Christian, but in 1967, about in a church service, God got a hold of her in an amazing way. And this is how she described it, guys, and I quote, "It felt as if somebody poured warm oil on my head, covered my entire body, and the love of God just encompassed me." Now, she was 60 years old at that time, guys. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 60 years old. In the one more mile, so to speak. And for the next 30 years, I'm telling you, something happened that day. At that church here, she was baptized, water baptized, what we do here as well. She was water baptized at the Methodist church. She became the church organist, loved the church, loved the people, and just was, you know, it was a grandmother. I'm praying. There's two things that ignited her. I'm going to tell you about one of them. One is prayer. She became the greatest prayer warrior I have ever seen, guys. And I got to know that a little bit. So 1990, so I can remember, Pastor, what... You know, I was pretty enthusiastic in my young faith, and we were doing. And I remember I said something to her, and she felt that I was getting off track a little bit. And it's easy to get off track in our spiritual lives. And she said, "Steve, just
share the gospel with people and tell them about Jesus. You can just keep it very simple.
Man, that was like a sledgehammer across my heart there, guys. And I listened to that to this day. So, guys, I'm just gonna tell you this one story, and then we're gonna worship together a little bit. So it was 1997. Okay, I had known Hollis now for 10 years. We got saved in 93. We got the call to come up to Kannapolis. So Andrew was a baby. He was about 6 or 7 years old at the time. Elizabeth was newborn, and Hollis was done. She was 90 years old in 1997. She had told me for a while that she was done. Have you ever had, I'm ready to be, you know, I'm just ready to be with Jesus. I'm ready. You know, no, Grandma, no, you know how that is. So now she was ready for real, and that was because, you know, she's just old age. There was no physical ailment. She was in pretty good spirit. So she had a hospice bed set up in her apartment in Kannapolis, and I went up there. And I walked into that room, and she reached out her hand to me just like she did in 1987. And she grabbed my hand, and guess what she did, guys? Began to stroke the back of my hand very lightly. She said, "Oh, Steve, I'm so glad you're there." And we talked for a few minutes, and I said, "Grandma, I kind of got to ask you this. I mean, when we met 10 years ago, and you kind of grabbed my hand like that, what exactly was that?" She said, "Oh, Steve, that means that I started praying for you. And it was my commitment to the Lord that I was going to pray for you and Dawn." And guys, I'm just telling you, that blew me away. And she said something else, guys. And I'm going to share this conversation with you guys. I haven't told anybody. My own wife, who loved Hollis more than anything, doesn't know this. But she said, "Steve, when you walked in that house in 1987 to pick up Dawn, I knew you were the one for her. And I knew you and Dawn were going to be saved. And I knew you guys were going to serve the Lord together." And guys, by this point, I was losing it. I mean, the presence of the Holy Spirit was in that room. And here's the funny thing, because I was pretty new in my faith, and I was like, does this really happen? I mean, I had never really seen this before. So here she was speaking prophetically into my soul. She told me something else. She said, "Steve, I think my prayer for you, and I think what's going to happen is someday God's going to use you to really help people to learn about him, and you're going to disciple people." And, you know, I had just started really in small groups. I didn't know anything, guys. I didn't know anything. And so that's really been one of my major burdens here is discipleship and evangelism. She said, "Steve, you know, and we've talked about music a lot. She was a great organist, and I have all her music. I have her precious, sacred hymnals in my home. All strange keys. I can't play that stuff. I'm a guitarist. I can't play that stuff." But she was so awesome, and she kept a little organ in her home. She said, "Steve, I think you're going to use your musical gifts to help people worship God." There I was, an old rock and roll guitarist, and here I am. And she said one more thing, and I had no clue what this meant, but she said, "Steve, I really think one day you might be up on a stage sharing Christ with people." So here we are, guys. The spiritual momentum, guys, that was generated in my life in 1987 came to fruition in 1993 when I got saved, came to fruition all through my ministry, and here she is. And you know what the result of? It was her prayer, God. I did not know any other Christian. She literally prayed us into heaven. And I'm telling you guys, one of her spiritual disciplines every morning, and Dawn has confirmed this, when Dawn was a little kid, all the way up to when Dawn was a teenager, she got up at 4 o'clock every morning and prayed and opened her Bible. 4 o'clock. Didn't matter what the weather was. She got in that house coat, she got in her chair, and she went through his prayer list like nobody's prayer list. I was just one of hundreds, hundreds, hundreds. Guys, do you see the spiritual momentum that was gained on that, in that posture of prayer?
And it's amazing, amazing, amazing. So, guys, this is what I'd like to do. Take out your sheet for just a moment. Now, we're talking about the seven principles, guys, that I've shared. This has been on my heart for 4 years. Pastor said, Steve, just bring what's on your heart. So this is 4 years. I basically write one sermon every 4 years. That's about my spiritual productivity. So I don't know how you do it every pastor. You're awesome. Thank you for your ministry there. But look at those rankings, okay? So the first thing I want you to do is pick out the highest score of one of the seven. Again, guys, this is private. Don't show anybody. And put a little check mark next to it. And that check mark, that's a way of saying, God, thanks for it. God, I'm going to say a quick prayer. So, God, thanks for that little check mark, Lord, that you've been working our hearts this way. And, Lord, help us to be better in that area. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. But, guys, now what I'd like to do, a little bit tougher. And, guys, thanks for your patience today. Identify maybe one of the lower scores. This just really just indicates what's something we need to work on. And in a minute, guys, I just want you to circle that. If God has nudged you about something today, if God has spoke to you about a particular thing, maybe it could be your time, how you use your time, your talents, your treasure, the ministry of your word, personal devotion, worship, small groups, any one of those. Whatever one you think that God wants you to just put a little effort into, we're gonna circle that one, okay? And this is what I want you to fold that, and we're going to have prayer dedication in a couple of minutes. But I want to do this song. We prepared this song for you. It's called For the Sake of the World. And when I heard this song, I asked Wayne, could we do this at the end of the service? And guys, again, thank you. And we're going to keep Facebook Live also rolling through this time because I want people to hear this song. It really puts into, well, you're talking about the one more mile. You know, and one thing about Hollis, guys, is that she was a little discouraged at the end of her life because she had lost her husband, lost her church, couldn't go out, couldn't play organ, but she kept going. She went that one more mile. Jesus said, you know, if you're in a position that you may not necessarily want to be in, go that one more mile because spiritual momentum many, many, many times are going to be developed in that area, not necessarily in the first, but in the one more mile. So this song is called For the Sake of the World, so... Jordan, if you want, I'm going to jump on my guitar. So, guys, if you want to stand or if you even want to come and worship a little bit, I'm going to have a few comments just after this, and then I'm going to turn the service right back over to Pastor. So let's worship together. Here we go.
I'm giving up control. I'm never looking back. I surrender all. I'm living for your glory on the earth. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow, for all the world to know, I'm living for your glory. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. For every knee to bow down, for every heart to believe, for every voice to cry out, burn like a fire in me. For every tongue to confess, you alone are the King. You are the hope of the earth, burn like a fire in me.
Guys, we're talking about spiritual. Just think about this, guys. the prayers that were prayed back in 87, it took 6 years. 6 years before I got in front of the gospel, but she knew it. She never gave up hope. And guys, you know how I got saved? I was just in a, I got invited to church just like this, and a pastor got up and said, Jesus is the Son of God. And he said that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and he died on that cross for your sins. And that didn't, to tell you the truth right there, guys, I did not understand it. But then when he said this, Jesus was the substitute. Jesus, we should have been up on that cross because of our sin. Jesus took our place, and he was sinless. And that was starting to click with me, guys. But there was one more thing. I was like, why did he do that? Why would he take our place? And then the pastor said it, because he loved us. Because of the love of God for us, he sent his son to die on that cross. And then that pastor told me something. He said, if you just simply repent, turn, and believe. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Repentance, guys, is really just a turning of an attitude. We don't chase that anymore. We're not chasing that. We are chasing God for now, guys. For the sake of the world, guys, we are going to live for Christ. We turn, the sin, we turn from there, and we face God, and we say, Jesus, I'm going to live for you from now on. I'm going to live for you. He said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died, and if you believe, guys, that he rose from that grave on the third day, you'll be saved, and God will take you to heaven when you die. And guys, I think for me, when I heard that gospel, there were a couple things, but when he said, you know, when Jesus rose from the grave, guy, that was God's stamp of approval on what Jesus said, who he was, the Son of God. Wow, guys, the Son of God died in our place, and he rose to prove that he was the Son of God, and he's in heaven today on the right hand of Father. So, guys, and from there, from that moment, thanks to Hollis's prayer, we got in front of the gospel, and now here I am sharing, and there's going to be folks, maybe in my hometown, Steve, what are you doing up upstate? What are you preaching? It's because Jesus loves me. It's because I got to tell the story. I've got to tell that if you believe in your heart, Lord, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And that's a promise from God. So, guys, we're going to conclude in prayer. Do you have your, just take another little quick peek at that. And I'm going to come down here on the altar, then I'm going to turn. So, guys, I got to pray about something. I see something that I need to pray about. So what we're going to do, I'm going to take a few minutes, then I'm going to turn a service back over to Pastor and Dwayne. So, guys, I would even say, come on up here with me, because I'm going to come down here. So, guys, if you want to come up to the altar, if you want to take some time, I'm going to hit the altar here. So come on up, guys, and let's pray together. I'm going to pray through these things, and we're going to dedicate this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to these principles, Lord, are so important. So, God, I'm going to pray through each and every one of these, guys. And, Lord, as we get through these, Lord, I would pray that you would put on our hearts, Lord. Maybe there's just something. If we could just improve one step, take one more step closer to you in any of these areas, even if it was 2 and 3, God, you would produce spiritual momentum in our lives that would blow our minds, Lord. You would use us in ways we would never thought possible. So, Lord, I want to pray for our time. Lord, time is precious. Ephesians 5:15 says, Lord, redeem that time. Lord, help us to redeem that time. Lord, for the talents you've given us, whether it's the spiritual gifts of encouragement, of teaching, all these things, Lord, needs-based giving, you name it, Lord, encouragement. Lord, help us to do better in there and help us to use that for you. And Lord, number three, our treasure, Lord, help us to realize what we really have and to share freely with those in need, Lord. Oh, Lord, and we're here at the altar, Lord, for number four prayer. We're here. We're praying, Lord. So thank you for the opportunity to pray, Lord. Lord, I can probably honestly say every single one of us, and number four for prayer, we can do better praying, Lord. Hollis's example, Lord, 4 o'clock in the morning without fail, Lord, it kind of puts me to shame a little bit, Lord. And Lord, help me improve in that area. She was so consistent and persistent in the area of prayer. It changed lives by the scores. So help us in that, Lord. And for our personal devotion time, Lord, help us use our car ride, our time alone in the morning, maybe in the evening. Just help us, Lord. Help us to improve our time in your word and enjoy that, Lord, for worship, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Crosspoint. Thank you for Pastor. And Lord, his obedience to that vision
many, many years ago said, there's going to be a church on that corner, and we're going to be giving out the gospel, we're going to be praying, and people are going to get saved. So, Lord, that's what worship's all about. We're here today to dedicate this time to you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us in our worship, Lord. Help our church too here, Lord. Help our church. Bring us, folks. We're here. We're going to share the gospel every single week. I guarantee you, I know Pastor's heart. We're going to lift up your name in song, Lord. We're going to worship you. And you're going to bless them. Thank you for that. And finally, God, for our small groups meant so much to my best friend in the world who come out of my small groups, Lord. Guys, I can call any time of the day or night. They got my back, Lord. Small groups where we can get to know each other, Lord, where we can study your word. So, Lord, help us to do better in that. So, Lord, I'm dedicating that spiritual momentum, Lord. That's right from your word. Help us this summer season. This is summer at Cross Point, Lord. Help us during this summer season to gain spiritual momentum as a personal level and as a corporate body, Lord, that we can reach souls, Lord. When that school gets back in the fall, Lord, when those kids get back, 20,000 kids across the street, Lord, neighbors all around us, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to reach them. And, Lord, we thank you for this time. This is a prayer of dedication. And, Lord, help us, Lord. Just help us to take one more step to you in several of these areas, Lord. And you are going to honor that by producing spiritual momentum in our lives. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Pastor Steve, what a powerful message. Seven steps of spiritual momentum. Let me just take just a moment before we go to say, you know, as a church, in the summer, they say a summer slump. We don't believe summer slump. We're going to have summer momentum, right? And I just want to, come on, don't you just appreciate Pastor Steve and this message he brought today? You know, it's interesting as Pastor Steve was sharing about spiritual momentum, and along with that, he gave a story about someone who had an influence in his life. Today, it may be a father we're thinking about, or maybe a mother, maybe a grandparent. It could be a brother, a sister. It could be a coworker. But it's interesting how someone stepped into Steve's life and had a powerful influence. There was a purpose in that. I believe that's God-directed. God does that. And who knows but what God has stepped into your life today. Maybe your connection with Steve, maybe some people watching online even now, that there's a purpose beyond just a friendship there, but there's a higher purpose there, that God has something else in mind that he has purposed in your life, and he wants to direct your life, the steps of your life. We're talking about taking steps in spiritual growth, but I want to tell you, the first step is to step into relationship with him, and that may be your first step today. You may be here today and you know that's your next step, is that you need to take a step to him. Talking about last miles, God went the last mile, didn't he? He gave his all. He gave his son in hopes that as he stepped toward us, we would step towards him. So what I want to do today as we close, I just want to give an opportunity. If that's you and that's a step that you need to take, that you know you need to be in right relationship with the Lord, it may be your first time coming in a real relationship with Christ, or it may be coming back to him, that you know you're not where you need to be with him. Either way, I just want to pray a simple prayer with you today. If you're watching online, if you're here in this building, but if you take a moment just to bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray a prayer, I just want to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated, not have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you, but just right where you're seated, right there, I want to pray with you. I believe God wants to make this a turning point in your life. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor, that's me, when you pray that prayer of commitment to Christ, would you count me in? If that's you, would you boldly just put your hand up as high as you can, just put your hand up, and then you can put it right back down. No one looking around. God, yes, yes, yes. Good job. I'm so proud of you. If you're watching online, you can let us know by either responding there, or you can email us at crosswellworshipcenter.com. But if that's you, just pray with us. Join us in prayer, even right where you are, whether you're watching this live or later. God will honor this prayer. It's not a magic prayer or magic words. I'm just helping you with the words. All you've got to do is mean it. It's a prayer of faith to you, to God, and I'm just going to help you with the words. But if that's you, just right where you are, you need to pray this prayer, just pray something like this. Come on, everybody praying together in support of those that need to pray this. Pray this. Say, Father, today, thank you for sending your Son to me that I could experience life. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, paying the price for me, for my sins, paying a debt that I could not pay, paying a debt so I wouldn't have to pay it. I thank you, God, for giving your all for me. Today, I surrender my life to you. Today, I give you my life. Come in. Come on the inside. Forgive me. Heal me. Give me a purpose. Fill me with the fullness of life that only you can give. Thank you, God. I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. One step and one day at a time. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for those that have made the best decision of their life. God, I pray over them. God, that day by day, step by step, they'll become closer and closer in relationship with you, God. I thank you today, they're brand new. The past is gone. It's a new day, and they're a new person in Christ. Lord, I bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I pray that, God, they would experience spiritual momentum, Lord, that you would breathe into their life, that your hand would be upon their hand, that your hand would be upon their life, God, that you would lead them step by step through every stage of life, God, through this journey, God, that they'll follow you all the days of their life, God. I pray as a church, God, take us to the next step, Lord. God, give us the spiritual momentum. Breathe into our life, God. God, move in our life and through our life, God, that we will be able to make a difference. We'll let your light shine, God, that they can see the glory of God in us and through us and give you all the credit for it, God. I thank you for it today and for all these things accomplished. We give you all the praise and the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's praise Him this morning for changed lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your mighty name. We bless your mighty name. Amen and amen.